And we thank God for ministries like the Gospel Camp or TMT and Boston Project.
我们实在愿意感谢主，因为主在我们这里预备了各种不同的事工，让我们能够有参与。
In fact, this morning's passage will take us into such matters.
事实上，今天早上我们是要一同思考的圣经，就让我们再一步的回到这个题目。
But first, think back to the 1996 presidential election.
让我们先回到1996年的美国总统的竞选。
At the time, the economy was strong.
那个时候，美国的经济很好。
Now, the economy is the chief feature in any election.
事实上，在每次这个总统竞选的时候，这个经济状况是一个很重要的题目。
So when the economy is strong, how do you attack an incumbent president?
所以当你这个经济状况很好的时候，你要怎么样能够让你自己能够选得上呢？
Well, Bill Clinton made the Republicans' job easy.
因为Bill Clinton他让这个共和党的人的工作变得很容易。
Because of his moral failures, some Republican advisors were, let's aim at the character issue.
假如说他只是他的道德的不好的话，那么他们就会照着他的个性来攻击他。
One advisor in particular, William Bennett, who'd served under Bush Sr., said, let's aim at the character issue.
所以那个时候William Bennett他是在这个老布希总统底下，他做他的高级的顾问的时候，他就说我们来攻击Clinton是攻击他的个人的性格。
The Republicans, however, felt that they couldn't.
但是那个时候许多的共和党的人觉得这样做不合适。
Because Bob Dole had also had affairs and was divorced and remarried.
因为他们共和党的这个总统候选人Bob Dole自己本身以前也有不适当的行为。
And so a dichotomy arose that being a president was not about personal character. It was only about professional competence.
所以那个时候的一个矛盾就是说，好像做一个总统呢，不是在于他的这个道德生活上的正确不正确，而是在于他的政策。
But we see something different in the Word of God.
但是在神的国里面的标准又是不一样的。
That we cannot separate personal character, private life, and public life.
因为在神的国度里面，你在公众场合，你的生活跟你在神的面前，你个人私人的生活是分不开的。
In another way, on another, along another line, we often look for the will of God for our lives.
在许多的时候，我们都在追求神的旨意。
And as we seek the will of God, often we're asking about things for our private life.
当我们每一度追求神的旨意的时候，我们通常我们的焦点都放在我们自己的身上。
Where does God want me to go to school?
神要带我到什么地方去上学?
What job does He want me to take up?
神要我做什么样的工作?
Where should I live?
我什么地方可以去住?
Whom should I marry?
我可以嫁娶什么人?
When should I have children and how many should I have?
我应该什么时候有小孩，应该有多少?
But when Scripture thinks about the will of God, it has a different focus.
但是圣经里面讲神的旨意的时候，是有不同的一个焦点。
The will of God in the Bible is primarily His sovereign will.
那么在这个圣经里面所讲的神的旨意，主要是指神的主权的旨意。
His plan for the world.
他对这个整个世界，他整体的计划的旨意。
How God will extend His kingdom from a church outward from the church to this community and then to the world at large.
神怎么样把他的国度从一个教会里面能够扩展到全世界。
That's the primary focus when Scripture speaks of the will of God.
当这个圣经里面讲到神的旨意的时候，这是最重要的一个主要的旨意。
Not His will for my private life.
并不是说他的旨意在我个人的生活上有什么样的关系。
But His objective in the world as a whole.
而是他在整个神的国度的整体上的一个关系。
The sort of thing that the Gospel Camp or the Boston Project or TMT represent.
那么关于我们的福音营，关于我们的台湾短宣队，关于我们在Boston城里面所宣传的这个所有的这福音工作。
And we see that sort of thing in Genesis 42.
我们把这些事情都能够在这个创世纪的42章里面看得见。
But there's a secondary sense to the will of God in Scripture.
那么在神的旨意里面，在圣经里面也有第二个旨意。
God has a second concern.
那么神也有第二个他的旨意。
And this is called His moral will.
这是关于道德上的。
How God wants us to live.
神要怎么样在我们个人上能够活出一个好的生活。
Now His plan for our private life has very much less to do with where we go to school, who we marry, what kind of career we do.
但是神在我们的个人生活上面所做到的工作和我们在哪里去上课，在哪里有什么样的工作，并没有那么直接的关系。
His will for my life is primarily a moral will, how I live.
而他对我们身上所有的旨意是我们在道德上的，在与他的关系上的，在我们怎么样过我们的生活上有关系的。
And we see that also in Genesis 42.
那么在这些方面，我们在这个创世纪42章里面都看得很清楚。
Notice first of all the sovereign will of God.
那么第一个，我们来看神他的主权的旨意。
Many years earlier, Joseph had had two dreams.
在很多年前，约瑟他有过两个梦。
In his first dream, he saw his brothers bowing down before him.
那么在他第一个梦里面，他看到他的弟兄们、他的兄弟们、兄长们在对着他下拜。
In his second dream, he saw his brothers and his parents bowing down before him.
那么在第二个梦里面，不只是他的兄长，甚至于他的父母也对着他下拜。
This was a sign of what God wanted to do.
这是神在他身上告诉他将来要他去做的事情。
And generations before those dreams, we saw another indication of the will of God.
那么在这个事情之前的许多的世代，神也在另外一个上面让他看见了他对他的旨意。
God came to Abraham and made three promises.
那么神到了亚伯拉罕前面，给了他三个愿。
And one of those promises is that God would bless the entire world through Abraham.
那么神应许这个亚伯拉罕，那个他会成为全世界的祝福。
This is the sovereign will of God for the nations.
这是神在他的主权掌管上面为他的所有的旨意。
To bless the world through Abraham.
他要把他的恩典加在亚伯拉罕身上。
And to lift Joseph up above his brothers and his parents.
让这个约瑟能够升起来，能够高于他的兄弟，甚至于他的父母。
Now for generations we've seen very little of the promise to Abraham fulfilled.
我们已经看到许许多多的世代，千年的时间都经过了，我们都看不见，这个亚伯拉罕，神在亚伯拉罕身上的旨意能够显现。Abraham
has a small family.
因为亚伯拉罕有一个很小的家庭。They
become a small tribe.
他们是一个很小的部落。They're
not blessing the world.
他们实在是没有带着整个世界有什么样的恩典。Joseph
has a dream of prominence.
那么约瑟他在梦中觉得他会升高。The
next thing we know, he's a slave.
但是我们所知道的第二件事发生的是，他变成了一个奴隶。And
then imprisoned.
那么下到监里面。What
happened to the promise to Abraham?
那么神对亚伯拉罕所有的这个应许到哪里去了？What
happened to the dreams of Joseph?
那么约瑟的梦到哪里去了？What
happened to the sovereign will of God and His plan for the nations?
那么神的这样子的一个旨意，他为了全世界的所有的这个旨意到哪里去了？We
see so little of it.
我们好像都看不见。
Chapter 39, Joseph is a slave in Potiphar's house.
那么在39节里面，约瑟是波提乏的一个奴隶。Then
later on in chapter 39, Joseph is imprisoned on false charges.
那么到了39节的时候，约瑟甚至于被下在监里。In
chapter 40, he interprets two dreams, and it looks like the people will return the favor as he helps them that when they get out of prison, they'll help him get out of prison.
在40节里面，他替两个做官的人解了梦，好像解了梦之后，也许将来他的环境就可能会改观。But
we see none of that.
但是还是没有发生。But
notice chapter 42, verse 6.
但是你看在第42章的第6节里面说，
Finally, we begin to see the point of the Joseph story thus far.
到这个时候，我们就看见了这个约瑟故事它的重点在哪里。
As Joseph looked around, he could not see the sovereign plan of God being fulfilled.
当这个约瑟在这段之前，他看不见神在他身上的计划的实现。
But God was working quietly behind the scenes.
但是神在安静的在这个幕后的慢慢的仍然在成就他的旨意。
And we see in chapter 41 that Joseph is elevated to be basically finance minister for the country.
所以在这个42、41节的时候，我们看见约瑟成了这个埃及的国家的财政总管。And
in chapter 42, verse 6, the first part of Joseph's dream is finally fulfilled.
所以到42章第6节，这边很清楚的说到约瑟所做的那个梦就开始。 被应验了。
First, he was betrayed by his brothers.
开始的时候是他的兄弟把他出卖。
Then he was sent into exile.
然后他就被放逐。
He was sold into slavery.
他变成了一个奴隶。
He was falsely arrested.
他被这个人家诬告。
He was betrayed in prison by people who promised to look after him.
那么在监狱里面有人应允他将来会照应他，但是这些人都忘了。
And yet the sovereign will of God was not thwarted.
但是神的他的整体的旨意一点都没有改变。
In fact, through all of this suffering, God worked out His sovereign will for the nations.
那么就整个的过程当中，神把他主权的旨意在慢慢慢慢一步的实现。
And so in chapter 42, verse 6, we read.
所以四十二章第六节这边说。当时治理埃及地的是约瑟，跳梁给当地的众民，众民的就是他。约瑟的哥哥们来了，脸伏于地，向他下拜。
13 years earlier, Joseph had had a dream.
在十三年前，约瑟有这样一个梦。
A dream of this very event.
他的梦就是这边所形容的。
For 13 years, he suffered through treachery.
那么经过十三年他的受苦
through exile,
被这个放逐
through slavery,
做奴隶
through false arrest,
那么被人家诬告
through disappointment and desertion,
有许多的失望
and yet for 13 years, God was working out his will for the nations in the midst of all that horror.
虽然在不同的这种受苦痛苦跟恐惧当中，但是神 的旨意在这边渐渐一步一步的成全。
As Joseph looked around him, he could not see God at work in the world.
那个时候约瑟看他的四周，他实在看不见神的旨意在哪里。
But after the fact, as Joseph turned and looked backward, he could see God had worked.
到这个时候的时候，当约瑟回头看他以前的日子的时候，他清楚的看见神的计划。
And so we read in chapter 42, verses 8 and 9.
所以到42章第8、第9节里面说，约瑟认得他的哥哥们，他们却不认得他。约瑟想起从前所做的两个梦，就对他们说，你们是奸细，来窥探这地的虚实。
Joseph recognized his brothers, though they did not recognize him.
约瑟认得他们的哥哥，他们却不认得他。
But he recognized something more important than his brothers.
但是他比他的哥哥们更能够认得的两个重要的事情。
He recognized his God.
他能够认得神。
He remembered his dreams, and he saw that the sovereign will of God advanced in the face of all obstacles.
他想起从前所做的两个梦，于是他就想起神的主权是在掌权。
God is still working out his plan for our world.
甚至于在今天，神的主权，他的旨意仍然在我们中间彰显。
And mostly, not always, but mostly,
最主要的
，He still works slowly, subtly, and steadily.
他的计划仍然是在慢慢的，在不断的，然后在我们的后面的背景里面一步一步的实现。
He works behind the scenes.
他在后面慢慢的工作
through horror and holocaust
虽然是在许许多多的恐怖甚至于大的谋杀的结果
through persecution and imprisonment
虽然是有许多的迫害有许多的监狱里面
through adverse circumstances and through comfortable circumstances
不管你是在一种困苦的还是在一个舒服的环境里面
the plan of God progresses resolutely
那么神的计划是没有一点改变的，坚决的在往前走。
It cannot be stopped by slavery.
不会是因为你做了奴隶，于是这个神的计划就有所改变。
It cannot be impeded through imprisonment.
并不是说因为你下了监牢，所以神的这个计划就被阻止。
Treachery and betrayal cannot hinder the plan of God.
虽然是有人在背叛。但是神的这个旨意仍然继续彰显。
But of course, I should not have to explain this to ethnic Chinese.
那么当然，我更不能向你们诸位中国人有中国人的背景能够说得更清楚。
1949, the China Inland Mission was forced out of China.
中国内地会在1949年的时候被 逼离开中国，被迫离开中国。
All missionaries were forced out of China.
所有的宣教士通通都被迫离开中国。
And persecution began slowly and then fiercely.
那么当时的迫害开始的时候是慢慢的，后来变成非常的剧烈。
And the great fear for the missionaries was that as they left, the church would be crippled.
当时人很害怕，因为觉得当宣教士离开之后，那么教会的事工就会受到很大的破损。
But persecution cannot stop the sovereign will of God.
但是世间的逼迫，人权的逼迫，并不能够阻止神主权的彰显。
God was with his church.
因为神是与他的教会同在。
There was, by rough estimates, at most 1 million Christians in 1949 in China.
在一九四九年的时候，中国差不多有100万的基督徒。
And there was, by some estimates, 50 to 60 million Christians in China in the 1980s.
但是到了八零年的时候，中国的基督徒有差不多5000到6000万。
A great many people suffered.
有许多的人受苦。
A Christian betrayed Christians as Joseph's brothers betrayed him.
甚至于基督徒出卖基督徒，就好像约瑟的兄弟出卖他一样。
Some Christians gave their lives.
有的基督徒为他的信仰的缘故献上他自己的生命。
But the work of God advanced.
但是神的工作仍然不停地在进展。
Through small miracles.
虽然是小的一些奇迹。
Through enormous defeats.
可能是看起来是极大的失败。
Through ups and downs far greater than Joseph experienced in his life.
你所经过的这些困难是比当年约瑟所经过的要大的许多。
And yet the church learned, as Joseph learned, that the sovereign will of God advances without fail.
就好像约瑟当年所能学到的一样，我们今天所有的基督徒学到同样的功课，就是神的主权仍然在不停地往前行走。
God never lets go of his people.
神绝不放弃他自己的人。
And nothing can impede the plan of God.
没有任何事情能够阻碍神的计划的进行。
Now that's the main point of the Joseph story.
所以这个是这个约瑟这一段故事的主要的信息。
The plan of God began in Genesis 12 with the promise to Abraham.
那么神的计划从这个创世纪的第十二章，神对亚伯拉罕所说的话而开始。
It was fulfilled in Genesis 41 when Joseph became ruler, essentially, of the economy of Egypt.
一直到了四十一节，当约瑟变成了埃及的宰相的时候，那么当时神对亚伯拉罕所有的应许就看起来好像是在实现了。
Joseph's part in the sovereign plan of God began in Genesis 37 with his dreams.
那么在约瑟自己身上的这个计划是从创世纪的37章，当他梦到那两个梦的时候所开始的。
13 years later, those dreams were fulfilled.
到13年之后，这些梦能够得到成全。
That's the main point of Genesis 42.
这就是创世纪42章里面的主要的信息。
God's sovereign plan marches on in the face of all obstacles.
神的他的主权 的旨意是不管你在世上任何的阻碍之下，他仍然在往前行走。
But if that was the only point of Genesis 42, the story could stop in verse 6.
假如说这个所有的信息就是这一点的话，也许到了第六节的时候，这个故事就可以完了。
Joseph's brothers arrived and they bowed down to him, face to the ground.
那么约瑟的这些兄长们到了他的面前，对他下拜。
That's the fulfillment of Genesis 37.
那么这个是已经让这个创世纪三十七章里面所说的话已经成就了。
So why the rest of Genesis 42?
那为什么接下来还有剩下来创世纪四十二章后半段的故事呢？
The main point of the chapter is the sovereign will of God.
那么这一段圣经里面的主要信息是神主权的旨意。
But the rest of the chapter focuses on the moral will of God.
但是剩下来的是讲到神在人身上对他们的道德其他的观念上所有的旨意。
As God works out His sovereign will for the world,
当神在这世界上彰显他主权的旨意的时候，
He also works out His moral will for His people.
他也为了他的众民，他的子民 他们的生活、他们的道德上所应该有的这些特点，来彰显他的旨意。
Chapter 42 records two tests that the patriarchs went through.
那么在这个四十二章的后面一半段里面记载的是神对他的子民的的两个试验。
One was to assess their remorse.
第一个是看他们有没有悔改的心。
The other was to test their character.
第二个是看他们的性格。
Both of the tests depend on the parallels that occur in chapter 42 and those which occurred with Joseph in chapter 37.
那么这两点都是并行的，是根据的42章和37章的故事。
God puts the patriarchs in chapter 42 in the same position that they were in chapter 37 to see how they would handle the test.
所以在这个地方，神给他们的试验就跟神在37章给他们的试验可以说是并行的。
As their personal history repeats itself, will their misconduct repeat itself?
当这个同样的试验到达他们的时候，看这些人是不是也同样犯一样的错误。
Will they accept responsibility for their earlier sin, or will they continue to deny responsibility?
他们是不是能够认他们以前的错，接受以前错误所应该有的责任呢？还是他们就一如往然继续犯同样的错误？
And will they betray a second brother as they had betrayed the first?
就好像他们对第一个弟弟所做的这个事情，是不是也会用在第二个弟弟身上？
And as the brothers go through the events of chapter 42 and they see the parallels with their earlier history, they ask themselves, will God punish us now?
当他们看到这个约瑟对他们讲的话的时候，他们就问自己说，神是不是这个时候要惩罚我们？
Notice chapter 42 verse 21.
就好像在这个21节里面说，他们说，我们在兄弟身上实在有罪。他哀求我们的时候，我们见他心里愁苦却不肯听，所以这场苦难临到我们身上。
Joseph had put them in a corner much like they had put him.
约瑟把他们放在一个角落，就好像当年他们把约瑟逼到一个角落一样。
They didn't know it was Joseph doing this to them.
当然他们并不知道坐在那个上面台上的那个就是他们的兄弟约瑟。
But they knew that God was working behind Joseph.
但是他们知道约瑟的后面一定有神的力量。
Surely we are being punished because of what we did to our brother.
他们很肯定的，因为他们在13年前对他们的兄弟所犯的罪，是今天为什么他会受到这样的报应。
That's why this distress has come upon us.
所以他们会觉得这样子的苦难会临到他们。
And the patriarch Reuben reinforces the idea in verse 22.
那么尤其在这个22节，他们更加的说，刘辩说，我岂不是对你们说过不可伤害那孩子吗？只是你们不肯听，所以流他血的罪向我们追讨。
They lived with guilt for 13 years and thought they'd gotten away with it.
他们在13年的当中，心中怀着一个悔恨的心。但是他们以为13年过了，他们已经这个事情已经过去了。
And now they see that God, not Joseph, that God has kept an account and God is paying them back.
但是他们清楚的这个时候感觉得到，在这边把过去的这些罪并没有忘记的是，乃是神而不是约瑟。
And the same idea occurs a third time in verses 27 and 28.
那么27、28节同样的发生。到了住宿的地方，他们中间有一个人打开口袋要拿料喂驴，才看见自己的银子仍在口袋里，就对弟兄们说，我的银子归还了，看哪，仍在我口袋里。他们就提心吊胆，战战兢兢的彼此说，这是神向我们做什么呢？
For 13 years they lived with the guilt of what they had done to their brother Joseph.
13年以来他们心中充满了这个罪恶感。
They had betrayed him and they had sold him into slavery.
因为他们背叛了他，把他的兄弟卖去做了奴隶。
They lied to the father and said the brother had been killed by a wild animal.
那么他们对他的父亲说谎，说他的这个弟弟是被一个野兽给吃了。
For 13 years they'd hidden their sin.
13年他们把他们的罪隐瞒。
And now they realize we can hide our sin from one another, but we can't hide our sin from God.
突然他们感觉得到，虽然我们彼此之间可以不提我们过去的罪，但是在神的面前却是如此的清楚。
And they realize that God waits slowly and patiently.
他们感觉到他们开始明白神是在慢慢的，但是有耐心的在这边等他们。
God works gently and subtly.
神是一个温柔慢慢的主，但是他也是一个不改变有持续性的主。
But God does take retribution for sin.
但是你若是犯了罪的话，神是会对你有报应的。
And he seeks remorse in his people when they've done wrong.
那么当人犯了错的时候，神是会到你面前来给你一个忏悔悔过的机会。
And that's the first test for them in this chapter. Will they show remorse for their sin?
所以在这边的第一个对这些弟兄们的这个试验是看他们有没有悔改的心。
And the second is a test of envy.
那么第二个对他们的试验是测验他们是不是仍然有嫉妒的心。
Will they do to a second brother what they've done to the first?
他们会不会对他们的第二个弟弟所做同样的事，就好像他们对他第一个弟弟所做的一样。
You see, Jacob had never learned his lesson.
事实上，雅各自己就没有学到这个功课。
He loved Joseph's mother the most, and so he favored Joseph the most.
因为约瑟爱这个他的太太叫做拉结，特别的爱他，于是拉结所生的小孩他也特别的偏爱。
His other sons from other wives grew resentful and took revenge.
所以他其他的他的那个妻子跟这个卑女所生的孩子，那么当然就觉得心中不平。
But after losing his favorite son, Jacob does not reform. He repeats the same error.
事实上，雅各当他因为偏爱了这个约瑟，但是约瑟失去了之后，他并没有学到这个功课，继续的偏爱那剩下来的这个小孩。
Notice at the beginning of chapter 42, when he's going to send some sons to Egypt, he keeps one back.
那么你看这个四十二章的前面，当雅各送他的儿子们去敌粮的时候呢，他留了一个儿子在他身边。
Those 10 sons are disposable, but this one I cannot afford to lose.
他说这前面这十个儿子是可有可无的，但是便雅悯这个小儿子是绝对不能够失去的。
Notice chapter 42 verses 3 and 4.
那么看这个第三、第四节这边说，于是约瑟十个哥哥都下埃及敌粮去了，但约瑟的兄弟便雅悯、雅各并没有打发他和哥哥同去，因为雅各说恐怕他遭害。
It's okay for those 10 brothers to risk their lives, but not for Benjamin.
那么这个前面的十个人，他如果说是上了性命是可以的，但是便雅悯不可以。
My son Benjamin is greatly comforted by this verse.
我的儿子的名字也叫便雅悯，他看到这边说他特别的高兴。
Still, Jacob had not learned his lesson.
所以雅各还没有学到他的功课。
When Simeon is kept back and Joseph, they don't know it's Joseph. When Joseph says, you can't get Simeon out unless you bring Benjamin back to exchange, notice what Jacob says.
当这个雅各说你可以把西面留在这边，但是你必须要带这个便雅悯回来来换他的时候，你知道这个雅各怎么说吗？
Verse 36，
在第三十六节他说，他们的父亲雅各对他们说，你们是我丧失我的儿子，约瑟没有了，西面也没有了，你们又将便雅悯带去，这些事都归到我身上。
I won't take the risk of losing Benjamin just to get back Simeon and Benjamin both.
我不愿意让你们把便雅悯带去，因为带去了之后会把西面跟便雅悯同时带回来，这样子的这个我不愿意做。
And so Jacob tempts his sons again.
所以约瑟就在这个地方考验了他的儿子。
They hated Joseph because he was the favorite.
他的这些儿子们很恨这个约瑟，因为他们偏爱约瑟。
Now would they hate the second brother Benjamin?
那么这个问题就是说，他们会不会对这个第二个Rachel 所生的儿子便雅悯同样的恨？
And yet we see in verse 37 that the patriarchs had learned their lesson and they overcame this temptation.
但是从三十七节你看得见， 这个约看得见雅各的儿子已经学会了这个功课。这边是这样说，流便对他父亲说，我若不带他回来交给你，你可以杀我的两个儿子，只管把他交在我手里，我必带他回来交给你。
Those who sold their brother into slavery now say, we will give our own sons for our brother.
那么这个把这个约瑟卖成奴隶的人说，你可以把我的儿子，愿意用他的儿子来交换。
And so we see that God has two agenda for us still today.
我们可以说在今天我们也看得出来，神对我们实在是仍然有两个旨意。
He has a worldwide plan for the world.
他对整个的世界有他一个主权的旨意。
That he wants us to be involved in.
他要我们都与他这个旨意上有份。
Gospel camp.
好像我们的福音营。
TMT.
台湾短宣队。
Boston Project.
我们在 Boston 城内的宣道工作。
Using our daily home life and our daily work life to influence others and bring them to a knowledge of Christ.
让也借着我们能够带领许多其他的人能够认识主。
And he still has an individual plan for our lives.
在我们的身上他仍然也有他自己的旨意。
To build our character in ways that honor him.
塑造我们的性格，这样我们能够荣耀他。
In this passage, we see two particular character traits that God seeks to build into his people.
那么对于在性格上，我们这边看得见，神有特别两个地方是他要他的这个子民们能够学得到的。
Remorse for our sin.
要第一对我们的罪要能够悔改。
And the ability to overcome envy and jealousy.
第二点，我们能够胜过嫉妒这样不好的心。
God knows that we will sin.
神知道我们是会犯罪的。
He seeks remorse in us for those sins.
但是他要我们对我们所犯的罪能够悔过。
You know, our natural tendency is to justify our sin.
我们一个最通常的一个方法是，当我们犯了错之后，我们就想办法来解释为什么我们犯这样的错。
I suppose for 13 years, Joseph's brothers either justified or denied or submerged their sin within them.
那么这个13年的时间，那么约瑟的哥哥们，他要不然就是觉得说，哎呀，我这个犯这个错是有原因的，或者是把他压迫下去啊，或者是怎么样，他觉得自己可以解释。
As I've talked with people who've been divorced, I have never yet found anyone who was primarily responsible for the divorce.
当我与许多人有离婚的经验的人谈的时候，我发现没有一个人愿意承认他自己要对这个离婚负责。
Some people are willing to admit that, well, yes, they played a part in it, but it's always the husband or wife who did the most of it.
那么有的人愿意说，yeah, 我也有些错，但是呢，是对方的错可能更多。
Of course, this doesn't surprise me.
那么当然对我来说，并不让我觉得惊讶。
Because as I've quarreled with my own wife over the years, I've always known who was primarily at fault.
就好像我个人与我自己的妻子另外一半吵架的时候，我都晓得是谁错的比较多。
And you know, we've had difficult times recently in our church.
好像我们最近教会里面也经过了许多困难的时间。
And the pain of being wounded often causes us to act inappropriately.
当我们觉得我们受伤的时候，我们常常我们的反应就变成不适当。
And it's easy to say, well, people act this way because they care.
那么很容易说，人这样做是因为他们顾念你。
They care for the church, and so they're upset when it gets hurt.
当我们受伤的时候，我们心里面会觉得愤怒，所以他这样子的动作是为了他们爱这个教会。
And that's true.
这个可能有许多的正确的地方。
But maybe it doesn't always justify some of the things we do in response.
但是这并不表示我们所有的反应都是正确的。
Often it takes a while and God waits patiently for us.
常常是要神给我们也需要许多的时间，要许多的忍耐，让我们来看见他的旨意。
He waited patiently for Joseph's brothers for 13 years.
他也等了约瑟的兄弟们等了13年的时间。
But for our own good, God does work to bring about remorse.
在我们个人的心中，神是 与我们在心里面同时的工作，只让我们能够有悔改的心。
And God worked with Jacob's children to help them overcome envy.
那么神也与约瑟的这些孩子们一同的工作，让他们能够胜过嫉妒这样子的罪。
I would invite you, particularly on this instance, not to test your own children over envy.
我希望你们不要在你们的孩子们身上来试试看他们有没有嫉妒的心。
Before God, the firstborn son is no more important than the lastborn daughter.
在神的面前，你的长子并不比你最后的幼女有任何更加的重要。
Or for any other child in between.
或者是在中间的任何其他的子女。
And so we see that God is at work toward two directions, two goals.
所以我们看见神在这里，他的工作是有两个并行的目标。
He seeks to spread his influence over the whole world so the whole world honors him.
所以他要把他的影响力能够达到整个的世界，所以整个的世界都能够荣耀他。
And he seeks to mold our character so that we honor him.
可以让我们有一个适当的性格，所以我们呢也能够敬拜和荣耀他。
And we advance his reign in the world as we're involved in evangelism and missions.
我们与他的国度在他的国度的拓管上有份的时候，也就是我们在他的宣道事工上有份的时候。
And we advance his reign in our lives as we treat our sin with remorse and repentance.
当我们与他的在我们身上的旨意能够彰显的时候，就是让我们自己能够在他的面前求他的赦免我们罪的时候。
Let's pray together.
让我们一同祷告。
Father, we ask that you would work in us.
天父，我们求你在我们身上动工。
That we might honor you with our character.
我们能够在我们的性格上塑造，能够荣耀你。
And that we might honor you by influencing others into your kingdom.
我们也能够借着你荣耀你的关系，能够让其他的人到你的国度里面来。
We ask this in Jesus' name.
我们奉耶稣基督的名祈求。
Amen.
Amen.